Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to extend their ceasefire for two more days, raising the prospect of further exchanges of militant held hostages for Palestinians imprisoned by Israel and a longer halt to the war. Cancer Research UK has published a report calling for more action to speed up diagnosis, get people treated quickly and recruit 16,000 more full-time cancer staff by 2029. They also want the government to put a new 10-year cancer plan in place. The Greek Prime Minister has expressed disappointment that Rishi Sunak cancelled the meeting in which he planned to raise the prospect of the return of the Elgin Marbles. He'd been expecting to meet the British Prime Minister during his visit to London. James Cleverly has apologised in the Commons for using inappropriate language against Labour MP Alex Cunningham after he challenged Rishi Sunak over the level of child poverty in his Stockton North constituency.
What I said was a comment about him. My apology was for using unparliamentary language.
That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Paul Blundell.
Fancy an adventure? You could sail around the world solo. Boats are expensive, though. Maybe you could hack your way through the jungle to an ancient Mayan temple. Pricey, too. And snakes. Or you could try the SEAT route to adventure. Because right now, you can buy any SEAT at 0% APR when financed with Solutions PCP. SEAT. Live bolder. Live better.
Offer ends April 2nd, 2024. Maximum 36-month term, minimum 10% deposit. T's and C's apply. Indemnities may be required. SEAT Finance.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hi, I'm Austin Obi-Cherry, a bowel cancer screening specialist. Believe it or not, your next trip to the toilet could save your life. If you receive an NHS bowel cancer screening kit in the post, you should complete it as soon as possible. You do it privately at home by following a few simple steps. Just a tiny sample detects signs of cancer before you notice anything wrong. If you're sent a bowel cancer screening kit, put it by the loo. Don't put it off. For more information, visit nhs.uk/bowel screening.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. And today I'm joined by a great friend of mine, Emmanuel Orufe. And again, we are coming to you from the heart of London to wherever you are in the world on Colorful Radio. So keep it colorful and join us as we have another wonderful chat this wonderful great time. So, Emmanuel, welcome to the show. Say hello to our listeners. And
thank you for having me this morning. Thank you, Mr. Julius, my great friend. Thank you.
Great, great. Yeah, Emmanuel, today we want to focus on Africa once more, and it's in a different way this time because we have seen huge efforts being made by Africa Union, by leaders from African countries, and of course the embassies being the Africa Free Trade Agreement. We are talking about Africa as a continent with a population of over 1.2 billion. When you look into that as in the marketing sense, it's a huge, you know, it's a huge market for any particular form of trade. And therefore, of course, if people or listeners missed, Africa Free Trade Agreement came to be because African countries want to trade amongst each other. They've traded away from each other for long, and it's about time they trade with each other for the betterment of the continent. So, Emmanuel, that's what, just one of the things and efforts being made. And of course, now we are talking again. You watched news across Africa. A lot of people dying because of flooding in many countries. Talk about East Africa, Kenya so far over 90 people. I think Somalia almost of the same, which is just next to our neighbor. And we cannot count enough infrastructure washed away by floods. And of course, coincidentally, we have COP28 happening in Dubai. And Dubai also, talk about Saudi Arabia, talk about Doha, everywhere. You see also flooding everywhere. So the thing is, are our leaders in Africa helping? Are they focused? Are they doing the right thing? And that's a question I want to throw there to provoke our chat. And listeners, feel free to contribute. You can send messages either on social media or even also, you know, whichever method is accessible to you. Are African leaders doing good enough? Africa Free Trade Agreement, by now, almost all countries ratified, and why is it taking so long to kick off? So far, we have only seen the one country in Africa, Rwanda, opening its door, saying, any African come to Rwanda, you don't need visa. Why the delay?
Oh, yes. A lot of issues have about the African free trade are inherent within the African system, rulership within the African countries. We have set of now free trade is okay. It has been on for a long time. Africans have been trading among themselves for a long time, even before the colonial people came. There have been trades long in the, between West Africa and North Africa, and then within the East Africa region. But the free trade you are talking about was something to harness the African economies together. We have a situation where we have different currencies, different orientation, different attempts to unify Africa for a single particular area. But this is impeded by we have different currencies, then style of leadership. Those flooding you are talking about is because infrastructures have not been put in place. If we have flooding in Nigeria, which consumed like 5 states because the infrastructures were not being put in place. And so the leadership, the infrastructures were not okay, were not there. Then talking about the free trade, the European and countries have had their own free trade. Why is it successful there? Because they have a single currency. The euro is working in Europe, but we don't have a single one in Africa. If we have a single currency, for example, within West Africa, we don't have one. There have been proposals to have a single currency, but the ECOWAS, we need one. We need to strengthen them. They need to be strengthened. The regional currencies need to be strengthened. For example, the one in Arab Union needs to be strengthened. The one in West Africa needs to be strengthened. The one in East Africa needs to be strengthened. The one in South Africa, in South Africa, needs to be strengthened. If all these are not strengthened, if there's no single central banking system, we need to start from somewhere. Europe started from somewhere. Even with all the competent bureaucracy in Europe, within the European Union, coming into force of the Eurozone, it was not even easy. You need to start from somewhere. Well, we need an African Central Bank. We need a single monetary currency in Africa. We need good leadership to enforce this policy. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere. Because we have the bureaucratic impediments, we have leaders who borrow this money from the IMF and the World Bank, and yet we don't see anything going on. So there's need for the African leadership to wake up and strengthen the monetary union, and that will also strengthen the market, because market is the main thing. if there's no free trade, then economic development is impeded. We need economic development. We need standard of living to be improved. We need people to flow along. Although where with this ECOWAS, people travel along the borders, but we don't see much of development. So those are some of the things that we need to look at and see if those bonds and policies can be strengthened and move forward.
You mentioned a few things. They are very important. Of course, when you talk about, for instance, the European Union, one of the things we see very clearly out there is freedom of movement. Any citizen, member within the EU setup, whichever country they come from, they are free to live and work in any country within Europe. I saw Britain or UK being jittery about that. They're like, yeah, we don't like people coming to our country. And they exited Europe, which also tells us one thing. Unity of nations has never been a smooth run, because even if Britain left or UK left EU, it was the same reasons as to why you may find some countries in Africa being careful, like, hey, we can't just open the borders yet. We don't want these fellas to come in. And what are they going to do if we give them freedom to just come just like that? You know, it's like it's the feeling of leaving your door open for your neighbors to come in. And you don't know which neighbor may come. Maybe it's the one you hate the most. So we have that straight on our face. Again, you spoke about EU also having one currency. It's good to learn from the systems we see working. And having one currency is key because, yes, sometime ago, again, Europe, they came up in introducing the euro. Again, our wonderful UK, they didn't want to ditch their pound. And they kept it along the way, euro. But in the end, of course, right now, yeah, it's no longer the story. They are out again on that. And, you know, we don't have that happening again for them. And then you see, very important, one currency. Freedom of movement between nations, extremely important. When you focus on our Africa, how do you see this panning up?
Okay.
And where do you think we are right now? Is it achievable?
Right. You talk of freedom of... Okay, let's start with freedom of movement. Within the African region, people travel around the place, but you see there's issue of... xenophobia. Don't forget what happened to Nigerians in South Africa. People, Nigerians traveling to South Africa, and then they are not welcome there. They are not welcome. Nigerians are not welcome in South Africa, in some other places. And don't just travel because you are an African. You travel around Africa with the hope of putting up trade or investment or somewhere, but you may not be welcome. So in some countries. We saw what happened in South Africa when Nigerians were killed, and there was a lot of violence on Nigerians. So it's not just traveling within Africa and making investment ventures, but you need to know where you are going, whether you are welcome there or not. So there are impediments of culture, impediments of history, impediments about what you are hoping to get in the new country. Why leaving the country in the first place? Why do you have to leave the country? Why can't people settle down in the country and develop the country? But you see, we also look at the free trade. We talk about the free trade already.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream? that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Free trade is a concept that is benefiting the Europe and the America rather than Africa. Well, free trade is supposed to lessen, to liberalize trade, to help the African farmer sell his goods and services, and to reduce taxes and all that for the African, because we produce the goods. But is there anything like free trade? I don't see free trade happening, because free trade is a concept which is supposed to lead to African the development of the agriculture in Africa and whatever. But it's not really happening in a way that is helping the African farmer. You produce the goods and it's supposed to be exported to Europe with low taxes. But with the African farmer is still suffering. There's so much poverty within the African cultural areas. There's so much poverty. The African farmer is poor. He hasn't got the necessary infrastructure, the tools to work. There's no mechanized agriculture. So the African farmer is just planting, harvesting, and then the Europeans buy these goods cheaply, get these manufactured things and sell it back to the African people at a very high cost. So you have high cost of living, high cost of food product, high cost of food product all over the country, all over the Africa. So free trade is, for me, it's not really happening now. It hasn't benefited the African people. In my own suggestion, we should deepen African exchange, African inter-regional economy developed by more exchange across the borders. But this also has to be done sustainably so as not to cause the problem again is conflicts in Africa. We have regional conflicts within Central Africa, within Nigeria. So those conflicts hinder exchange of goods and services. We have within the Congo alone, you have perennial wars that is not ending. In Nigeria, it's the same. So these regional conflicts are not helping free trade. They're not helping us. I think it's high time we sit down and do what is really possible, so it's really possible to reduce conflicts.
Yeah, conflicts are key impediment to development and integration of different countries because they tend to be extremely divisive. When you talk about they used to say the Third World War was fought in Democratic Republic of Congo. If you remember, there is a time that before they send so many UN peacekeepers, if you remember, some countries came in support of Congo, others were not in support of Congo, and all these countries were fighting on the ground in Congo. And yes, conflict even today, it's just because the world is very busy with Ukraine and Gaza. But if you were to focus on Africa, there's scary, horrible things happening in Democratic Republic of Congo to date. So conflict is a key impediment to integration. But yeah, so far, isn't that why these countries have been making efforts to come together? Isn't that why these countries are advocating to open boundaries and bring down the walls? Because one of the things is these are colonial boundaries, but they cannot demolish the boundaries, but they can do something about it. And restrictive visa issues and allow people to trade among different countries and trade a lot more. We are talking about intra-trade within African countries. African countries trading amongst themselves. Yeah, that we explore that, Emmanuel. But the other thing I want to pinpoint is the importance of one currency. You see, any country that fought for its independence properly and they acquired their independence. Independence, in essence, means sovereignty of a nation. So you're standing on your own. You have your own currency and your notes are decorated with things that come from your country to show this is who we are. Like elephants, you know, showing on some currency or something, or you have former leaders to say this is who we are. It's a sign of sovereignty of nation. But Emmanuel, we've been having a crazy situation there in Africa. As I'm speaking to you, we have 14 former French colonies in Africa who are still paying colonial tax to France. And we are talking about countries like Benin, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea, Mali, Niger, Senegal, Togo, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chad, Congo, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon. They are still paying colonial taxes to France in the tune of $500 billion. And I'm afraid to say if you were to combine their GDP per annum, maybe some of these countries' GDP will not be near $500 billion. Probably all of them combined or something. On that one, because I want us to focus on this a bit before we go elsewhere, I thought if you come, you colonize me. You are the one to pay me reparation. What's going on? Did these countries colonize France?
No, France had a kind of stranglehold on the colonized territories for a long time. You see that it's not just a stranglehold. It was so much that you see you harness them economically, politically, socially, linguistically. So you have this policy of assimilation where these French colonies were so assimilated to France that you also went as far as extracting so much money, so much for their foreign reserve, so much is in French hands. So if you are a colonized people, they are so traumatized right now. Education, the situation of Niger Republic, Cote d'Ivoire, Mali, all these are French colonies. They are still formally, I would say formally, though they try to struggle out of the situation, but they are still under French hegemony. But the situation now is the CFA, the French currency. Now, for them to harness for West Africa to have a single currency, it will mean ditching the CFA, and we're looking at one. What's the name of the currency for West Africa? So if that comes into place, that means the CFA will be no more. And in that situation, the implication of it is that France we lose out. And they fought for their independence. The African countries, they fought for their independence. They've got it. But yeah, you still have this attachment. You still have this stranglehold still there. So the problem now is, how do we have a single currency in West Africa when you have the CFA? Now, the issues they are looking at is, what is the benefit of that single? What would be the benefit of the single currency? Who is going to work it out? How is it going to work out? Taking into corruption a lot of indices within the region. You have corrupt leaders. You have there's no absence of rule of law. There is no accountability within the African leaders. There are military coups here and there. we have about 5 coup now within the last 4 years. Then you have low investment. Which one will take precedence? Poor infrastructure. So they are looking at so many monetary indices, how West Africa can, for what I've just said is that each of the currencies, each of the regional blocks to strengthen their bonds first, strengthen it. Okay, let's look at Africa. We have the Arab Monetary Union. That one is in the north. Then you have the ECOWAS, that is West Africa. And then you have the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa. Then you also have the Southern African Development Community, and then the Economic Community Center for the African States. So you have 5 major blocks in Africa already. These major blocks, these monetary blocks, they are not strengthened yet. They need to be strengthened. We need an African Central Bank that will now unite all these. So it's a gradual process for them to have this union. So I think I see a lot of impediments that will come into place before West Africa have the single currency. I think it will take some time.
Colorful radio. Colorful radio.
Yes, you touched there on the CFA franc, which they tend to use in, of course, in these former French colonies. But it's been argued that it's controlled by the French Treasury. And Emmanuel, also it's been argued that these African countries, they channel more money to France than they receive in aid, and have no sovereignty of their monetary policies. So can you just imagine that immediately, whereby here you use this money, you're still paying us colonial taxes, and then France is still the one controlling their monetary policies, and these countries have got no sovereignty. We see a situation whereby, because of the displeasure these countries have, they came up with the ECO, which was supposed to be happening within the ECOWAS economic bloc. And then when you see the efforts they made and how France fought it, you're like, did France give these countries independence in good faith?
Yeah, independence was not given good faith. Everything, you have to fight for it. In Africa, everything in life, you have to fight for it. But the thing is that France did not give them a good faith. And now, they are still there within the sphere of influence in Africa, with all this fresh West Africa. The ECO they are talking about may have a lot of impediments because of French influence. If France is still monetarily controlling the former French colonies, that means the so-called recommended ECO may not come to pass, because you have West Africa is made up of English colonies and then French West Africa. So who is going to come down to recommend which? Because ECO may face serious issues of compatibility within the West African region, and then it means the French West Africa will need to find a way to harmonize the stabilize the economy in terms of looking at the value of ECO. How are we going to value it? How are we going to value ECO vis-a-vis the CFA francs and the British and the different currencies within Africa? Nigeria has Naira, that we have other countries have different currencies. So the issue of harmonization is going to be a problem, going by the fact that France is strengthening its monetary policy. They are still paying taxes. It's going to be a problem. But I think in all these things, political will is a major thing. If ECOWAS, as it were now, is to stand firm on this, I think they can work it out. But is ECOWAS really strong enough? Do they really have the will power? Do they have the will power? And in terms of the philosophically, politically, socially, do they have the will power to dump their internal currencies and adopt ECO? That's the thing. The will power of the leaders is the major thing. You see, West Africa is faced with different kinds of leaders. You have military rule, you have democratic rule, so-called democratic rule. You have semi-democratic. You have the so-called kind of autocratic democracy. We can't say there's democracy in West Africa now. Most of them are either autocratic democracy or parliamentary. Some of them are not functional enough to be called democracies. So these are some of the things we are going to look at in West Africa. And I think it depends, as I've said, on the political will of the leaders and their different psychology or philosophies.
But when you look at it now, Emmanuel, when we talk about political will, doesn't that come in a different setup? I mean, I like your definition of what you look and see. You are not seeing democracy. You are seeing autocratic democracy. Dictatorial democracy. The wording tells it all. Emmanuel, we have a challenge, don't we? These former French colonies, most of them happen to be the countries that we have seen going the coup wave, you know, governments being overthrown. But when you look into the dynamics of the overthrow, you see still again France being a factor. You've seen this form of control, and then you have all these French troops within these countries in the name of fighting terror. But African countries have had enough of them. When you talk about what happened in Niger, remember citizens going there with no arms, going to protest in front of French troops, asking them to leave because they don't feel free. Yeah, they're still using the French franc. Their economies are still being controlled by France. French troops are on the ground.
Yes. So there's no,
is that what you're calling a dictatorial democracy?
It's the same old story. The French troops are still there. The embassy is still there. They are still using the CFA franc. The French interests, they are still there. They've not closed them up. And still the same old story. Until France decides to leave totally. But this is going to be difficult, you know, because you have the economic interest of France there. They still, their uranium is there for them to exploit. The investment in France will suffer if they stop importing uranium from Niger Republic. France will never leave there. France will never leave West Africa for now. Nobody should say anything contrary. They are still there in Africa one way or the other, either by proxy or whatever. So they are there to protect their interests. They've been there for since 1960 or more. So French colonial interests will remain until further notice. That is my own opinion. In collaboration with name fully aware that other advanced countries like Russia, like the US and Russia, they are also interested too. No, they are not ready to give up easily. So it remains whether there could be any autonomous development in Africa. Would that be possible? Would it be possible for African countries to develop autonomy now? Is it possible? Because Western civilization, colonialism, neo-colonialism has infiltrated into Africa. So for them to break away from that stranglehold of Europeans' colonization is going to be difficult, because Africa don't have the resources and the leaders are not up to it yet. We have issues which I've just enumerated. Corruption is there, lack of political will, lack of investment. There's poverty, extreme poverty in Africa. And then they are accepting all kinds of loans from the same people. They're accepting loans from IMF, from the World Bank. Now, if you look at those who are giving out these loans, the countries accepting these loans, they are poor countries. People, poor countries in real poverty, accepting loans. You are poor, and you are still accepting loans. So the loans and so-called IMF loans, they are going to more or less impoverish Africa. And I don't see where we're going to get that autonomous development out of it.
But Emmanuel, these countries in Africa, they'll argue that they are not poor. They are rich. They have the minerals. They have the natural resources. They have the tourism attraction of the big national parks are in Africa. Talk about Niger, the harvesting of the uranium that uses it in the making of all this nuclear energy or whatever. Yeah, so when you look into these countries, they are being told they are poor, but it's because they are rich, and maybe they don't know they are rich.
Yeah, harnessing what we have is very key. We have a lot of resources. But, okay, what is development? Development is actually an attempt to increase, to improve standard of living of the people. They have it. Africa have the resources. They have it all. They got it all. But, you see, they are poor. They have it, but they are poor. You have to look at what is poverty, what is development, what is progress, what is sustainability.
Okay. We're going for a quick break. When we come back, our listeners, don't go away. We'll be back.
Colorful, 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 colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Our listeners, welcome back. We are back, of course. Yeah, tough topic we are talking about. Of course, I'm with my great friend, Emmanuel Ruif. He's an editor, a journalist as well. Seasoned journalist and a great friend of mine. Emmanuel, before we went for the break, we were talking about this reason. Yeah, it's something you were saying before I stopped you.
Yeah. I was saying that by the 15th, 16th century, Africa have developed a stage which can be comparable to Europe. We have a sophisticated system of government. We have different empires. We have empires, just as Europe had empires. We had kingdoms, we had princes and princesses, just as we have yet. And we had empires such as Ghana, Mali Empire, Songhai Empire, Kanem-Bornu Empire, Kano, and Great Zimbabwe. raised in Zimbabwe, very sophisticated, with very sophisticated system of government, and other parts of Africa, up to a stage before the Europeans came. So we had all this in place. But since Europeans started coming by 18th, 19th century, that system was arrested. There's what we call arrested development, which Africa is suffering from today. But with the coming of Europeans, with colonialism, neo-colonialism, imperialism, all these have been stunted. There's what we call stunted growth. But what happened now is that by the time the Europeans came, they partitioned Africa among themselves. We were not there, 1884. We were not there when they partitioned Africa. Bismarck and Co. were there. 14 of them sat down and carved Africa among themselves, 1884 to January 1885. Since then, Africa have not remained the same. Regional wars, conflicts have started because of this division, areas of conflict. Ghana is the highest debt in Africa. We almost had 3% of debt ratio. And there are also other African countries. So they believe that they'll be offered loans by China and IMF and World Bank. That is development. But they don't know that development, you need to sit down and look inward among yourself. Stop the stealing. There's so much stealing, thieving, pillaging that is taking place by the new rulers, by the new colonial rulers, or autocratic democracy that we have.
It's scary, it's not, though.
It's not democracy, it's demonstration of grace that is taking place there. So we don't have democracy in Africa. We don't have it. We have autocratic so-called democracy. We have military rule. We have military rulers who have ruled Nigeria about 16 years or more. Military rulers in Agbada have ruled Nigeria, and we suffered a lot under their regime. So what we need is a serious re-evaluation of development. We need to re-evaluate whether are we developing, is it progress, is it just building roads, or as we speak, China have taken over most of the infrastructures in Africa. Look at Zambia, Malawi, Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, because they cannot pay the debts. If I was, when China built roads, if you can't pay, they put a toll gate there. So they'll be collecting their money back. So why can't we build our own roads?
It's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame.
Why can't we build our roads? Why? We have bitumen in Africa. We have bitumen. We have all the sorts of big roads. We have all infrastructure, all the resources to build roads and infrastructure, but we are still borrowing money from China and the IMF and World Bank. Most of the countries that borrow money from IMF, which is supposed to contribute to economic stability in all these states, they are all poor. They are all in poverty today. The World Bank is supposed to alleviate poverty. But have they alleviated the poverty? Because the resources of IMF is not enough to alleviate poverty. It's not enough. IMF have only $973 billion. It's not enough to alleviate poverty all over the world. So,
Why is it that in today's world you see some African leaders going for IMF and World Bank loans? Because if I look back and I remember well, the campaign was for these institutions to cancel Africa's debt. So why is it that now we are talking about a Kenyan president who wants to be given $2 trillion shillings by the IMF, and these institutions have been on spotlight by good and well wishers in the Western capitals campaigning for IMF and World Bank to cancel Africa debt because it's just crippled the economies in those countries.
Yeah, the economies in those countries, they are falling because the IMF, what the IMF does is to give out these loans with the hope of transforming the economy of those countries. But it never transformed anything. There's no transformation going on.
And the political tech, yes, a lot of African countries have found China to be very user-friendly because they don't talk democracy. They are like, you have a deal? Yeah. We make the roads for you? Yeah. Pay?
Yeah.
You want some guns? Yeah.
Yeah.
How much are you willing to pay? Yeah. Buy some weapons from us. Yeah. Yeah. Give us some roads to build. We won't talk democracy. But the Western capitals, you look back early 90s, if you remember the structural and adjustment programs, that when you are given any loan by World Bank or IMF, it came with preconditions telling you, transform your system, your political system, change it. And I saw this coming the other day. We'll talk about Kenya getting loan from IMF Bank, and you see IMF, all the institutions, supporting a criminal finance bill that was rejected by all Kenyans, fronted by the current president. It was rejected, yet IMF is supporting it because they want to pump money there.
Yeah, they encourage the African leaders to pilfering, gross pilfering, pillages taking place without money. Okay, can we give you money? Yes, they give it to them, to the rulers, but this money is indirectly stolen again because of high-level corruption. And then IMF give these preconditions. Like the other day, I saw that I was listening to one Ghanaian professor was saying that we know how to circumvent IMF preconditions. They will tell them, cut down the civil service, transform your system, your government, do a lot of it. They give them this precondition. Yes, they will tell them, yes, we're going to do it. And they collect the money, and this money is not used for the so-called transformation.
But also, if you see the resistance to IMF and the World Bank way back, early 90s and all, we had a Kenyan president telling them, no, we don't want your loans anymore. And now it took the directors of IMF to go to Nairobi to convince the president. Because if he said no, and he convinced his presidents across the continent, that would have been the end.
Yes, so they go there to convince to us to put them in debt, and then tell them that, if you collect this money, it will alleviate poverty, it will transform your economy. But IMF is to prevent instability in the economic system. That is their role. Then World Bank, I think, is to provide infrastructures. But what was there? There's so much instability now. The more money they receive, the more instability, because the money doesn't reflect in the economic stability of the country. So, and they keep on taking it, they keep on convincing these rulers, they collect the money, and what they do, they share the money, they embezzle the money. There's so much pilfering, stealing taking place. There's no human rights laws working. So, that is what the IMF, that's Togo, sorry, Ghana is the highest debtor. As I said, Ankara, which is Ankara, has said they are not going to take any more loans because they have been deceived into accepting loans which they cannot be able to pay back. Who is paying back all these loans in the first place? Your grandchildren will pay until the next generation. They will still continue to pay the loans. And the loans, the people have said they have never, we don't see the effect within the African system. But by going to my former point, why can't Africans sit down together and say, we don't want these loans? Let's put hands together to develop our country. You remember Magufuli?
Joseph Magufuli, Tanzanian former president.
Yes, he was on the right path. So what happened to him? What happened to him? Maybe he didn't want to collect any of their loans and he might have died mysteriously. Those are some of the progressive rulers in Africa. They eliminate them.
It's pretty sad, isn't it? It's pretty sad state of affairs because the West want to allies, they call them allies, a user-friendly president whom they can control, isn't it? And
yes.
Yeah, those ones are given access. They can even be given standing ovations when they speak in the Western capitals. And they're user-friendly presidents, allies.
Yes.
It's sad. Though. I mean, you made a very important statement there. Arrested development. And I was just imagining the way I'm so much for Africa to stand on its feet. And I'm thinking, if arrested development has been arrested, can we bail it? Can we give a bail? And where do we do that? And who is responsible? Or can we give ransom for it to be released?
Okay, remember the last time China invited all the African leaders, you see, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, to Beijing and gave handed over $60 billion to them and they collected the money. America also did the same. China has done the same. America has done the same. So they collect. The Africans, they don't refuse. They say no. They just as you said, it's a political kind of thing for them to harness Africa to their dominant regime. China wants chunks and chunks of Africa have been taken over by China. Zambia is almost out of the way because most of the infrastructures have been controlled by China. Zambia, Malawi, and Sierra Leone. Half of Sierra Leone have been bought over by China. So we see the next maybe 15 years, most of those countries will have been colonized by China. That is it. But the question is, how do you combat your independent indigenous development strategy? Can we come out of it? Is it possible? Because if you are going to come out, then you have to pay all the loans. They don't have the money to pay the loans. And if you don't pay the loans, you know what China can do. They say, well, and the most important thing is that most of these agreements were signed in Chinese language. And most of these presidents, they didn't understand what was there. And they signed it, don't know the full implications. Now, the implications are, if you don't pay, we take over your radio station, your infrastructure, your roads, or your ports, or your airways, and they didn't read it. So we, very soon we are going to see the implication of those agreements signed with China and then the World Bank, IMF, and Co.
It sounds like Africa is caught between a rock and a hard place. Bit more like being on the horns of a dilemma. And yes, we need, I think we cannot just give up. I guess when it gets dark, we need to open our eyes twice as much to see in the dark. But we should avoid a situation whereby, as Africans, we close our eyes at a dark night to avoid darkness. That's what I call escapism. And it's got no place because we have to get out of this. I say to you, Emmanuel, the spirit of Buffalo, right? See, three lions still come. It never stops shuffling them and using its horns, the only weapons, to fling them on the air so that one is catching the leg, but you still shake and you keep turning. So us, like the buffaloes, I think leadership in Africa needs to wriggle itself out of all this, you know, mess, because otherwise there's no hope for us.
It's no hope for us, but I was discussing this issue with somebody the last time. He said, oh, there is hope that Africa one day we are going to unite and have a political unity, one president, one parliament. I think this was suggested before by Gaddafi and Nyerere. These are all suggestions which are very beautiful, but it didn't work. Gaddafi was killed by even with collaboration by his own people, and that idea has almost fizzled out. So, but this man was saying that it is possible that Africa can have a kind of political unity. But I told him that there are a lot of impediments to it. The only way out as a journalist is, one, strengthen the bonds within West Africa first, East Africa, all these blocks, strengthen them. Have a central bank, Africa Central Bank, have a parliament. I think they have the parliament some time ago, but we don't know what happened to it. And then see if there's going to be interregional cooperation and within the blocks in Africa. Maybe that will help for now, because you just wake up and say you want to have political unity in Africa just overnight, that's not going to happen. There has to be economic first. Economic. That Euro, the way Europe started their own, to have that Euro there, economic, although Britain did not follow them up. But there should be economic cooperation first within Africa. One currency. If we can have that one currency first, then we'll move another step, political unity. Just like that.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed, I think that's a key. Unity of Africa remains key. And integration socially, politically, economically of all these countries remains key. And I think also the efforts for Africa Free Trade Agreement is fantastic. But the next level will be pull down the walls by and restricting movement of African people within the continent. And our listeners, that's all we have for now. Emmanuel, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, to our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you on
Africa in Focus.
Yo, can I ask the flasher? Say she ready for some loving. Grab her hand when she walking by me. Turn around, let her recognize me. Ooh, she looked surprised, but she kinda liked it. She ain't get no number, but she slid the IG. Oh, and that so icy. Chanel on her body, I can tell that she pricey. Boom, bye, bye, take her home like she wifey. Like she wifey. Make sure her homegirl straight. Shot, 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 and it's all on me. They wanna boomerang, pull it back on three.